White Sox! White Sox! Go, 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 go!
Call your sons, call your daughters!
Holy cow!
You can't put it on the board! Yeah!
Riley picks a perfect game!
Konecko, grand slam!
A White Sox winner and a world championship!
Jimenez,
he's your hero tonight! Thanks, Cubs!
The dynamic duo of Herb Lawrence and Chris Tannehill.
Those two are like a tag team, you know?
Come with me to Southside of Chicago.
Hi, this is Jim Thome, and the best White Sox talk is on Locked On Sox Podcast with Tanny and Herb.
Hello, and welcome back to Locked On Sox. My name is Herb Lawrence. You can follow me on Twitter. It is at EchnerWall23. Chris Tannehill is at Chris Tannehill, and our show is at Locked On Sox on Twitter, Instagram, and on YouTube. Go in there and subscribe. 312-566-8727 is the way you can leave us a voice message, and I see a couple already after this game, or lockedonsox@gmail.com. Without any further ado, it is Lee Tannehill's great-great-grand-uncle-grandnephew.
I'd be the nephew. Yeah, great-great, yeah. Did we get a winner for that trivia contest, by the way?
Yes, we
did. Someone sat in your seats?
Yeah, and they sent me a picture of a great seats in 531.
Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful.
I think his name was Mark. Let me make sure. But yeah, it was a very, very successful. We did that at like 12:27, and a lot of people got those answers. And I was like, great, thanks, Nick. But somebody was listening when that was posted.
That's awesome. That's what we look for. And I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, is this unfair to the people, like, you know, the third shifters, you know, people who are up late or, you know, up really early checking out the show? Maybe it's unfair to them that they get first crack at it. So maybe we'll find a different way to do it in the future. But
yeah, Mark Hooks.
All right, congratulations, Mark. Hi, Mark. Yeah, so I'm just happy they were used. I heard a guy in the parking lot on the way into the ballpark mention how you were giving away your seats for last night's ball game. You know, so we'll get to that in a second here. But yeah, I'm doing great. Was at the game last night. And Bill Walton scared me down here in my basement. He was here waiting.
The White Sox win. Print the banner. Line up the parade. Michigan Avenue on the Studs Turtle Bridge, Division Street. Let's go.
That's right. Jim Thome and Bill Walton were just waiting for me here in the basement. You know, they were just going through all my records and messing with my bobbleheads. I can tell. I'm like Kathy Bates in Misery here. I can tell when Fernando Rodney is facing due south here, and I can tell when he's moved a little bit. So I don't know what's going on.
There's been a hot 16 in the basement with Big Tigger.
That's right. Yes. Shout out to Rap City and Rap Soto. All right. So White Sox winners last night by a score of 3-2. Big, big night because Sox now go back to 21 over a 500 and just awesome, awesome, awesome. And they are now, do you know how many games they are ahead of the second place team? You know how many games?
11 and a half.
Let me check because I think you're underselling the standings here. You know how many it actually is? 12 games ahead of Cleveland.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Why does this slap so hard, Herb? Still, years
it
later.
Heat.
I didn't know.
One of my favorite artists did a song, and I run it right now for Top 5 Tuesdays. It's Count to 5, and they just do the 5. They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's hot.
Yeah, this I didn't know this until recently. This is the Pointer Sisters.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Got the steel drums kicking in later, although Rick Camp says they are not steel drums. But yeah, Sox are 12 games up now on second place. Cleveland, I'm never incredibly comfortable, but things are just looking really good for the Southsiders as they win 3 straight against Oakland. They look to take the 4-game sweep later on today at 1 o'clock on the South Side. I was at the game last night, and a couple quick housekeeping things here before we get to my experience at the game. A couple of news items here. Yasmani Grandal, he went 3-for-3 with a double and a homer in the 9-5 victory over Norfolk down there in Charlotte. Chris Bassett, if you're wondering how he's doing after his unfortunate evening last night, he fractured his cheekbone and upper jawbone He's going to get surgery after the swelling goes down, but he's got the 20/20 vision, and physically it appears that he'll be okay. Time will tell how he's going to do mentally when once he comes back to a big league field there. But, you know, our thoughts are with him, and glad to see that things are relatively okay considering the circumstances. That's exactly what you wanted to hear. Paul Blackburn replaced him on the roster, and he ended up getting the start last night in lieu of Cole Irwin, who's going to start today against the White Sox. So, and another thing, another correction I had said last night, Mike Wright got his first big league strikeout. I think what I meant to say is his first strikeout with the White Sox. So a listener corrected me on that one, which I appreciate. Got to be right first and foremost. So yeah, that was incorrect because I should have known Mike Wright had had a cup of coffee, I think, with the Orioles and the Mariners, I believe, back in the day. So yeah, that's where we're at with that. So a couple of housekeeping items there. And let's see if there's anything else here that we have to get to before we get the show started here. No, that's it. Fun time at the ballpark last night for myself. I went with Shane Reardon from The Score. Took my family out there for our first game of 2021. Our first game in 2 years as a unit, as a family unit. And it was a great time had. And once we got my daughter, the place is a little bit different than it was in 2019 for my daughter. There's a lot more people there. A lot livelier crowd. I'm trying to think of the last time we even went on a weeknight. It probably has been a while. But even for a weeknight crowd, it's a pretty lively crowd. So we had to go get her a set of the aviator headsets there behind home plate at Guest Services. So thank you to the great folks at Guest Services. If you have a child who's maybe has some sensory issues, you can always go behind Guest Services and they'll trade you. I think it was either an ID card or a credit card, just an exchange, and it's no charge to you to get those headsets for the kids. So once we got those on her, she was good to go. Had her Dippin' Dots. Dad went and bought her a plush unicorn doll with the old 83 Sachs logo back in the yards, win and ugly. got her one of those. So a great time. I ran into our friends there, Herb. I don't know if you ever heard of these guys. Mike Rankin and Sean Anderson, they were at the ballpark last night as well. Saw them on the concourse. You may have seen them on the TV broadcast.
Wow.
They were sitting that close. They were right behind Oakland's on-deck circle there. And Mike Rankin, I don't know if you were at the studio the other day, when he put it out there in the universe that his seats were pretty good. And we talked about Shane and my seats that we had that Shane got the hookup on, you know, pretty good seats in section 130. I think you've sat in those seats before. At least you know where they are because you were there with Lawrence a couple weeks back when we were there. So you know those are pretty good seats, friends and family seats, some would say. But then I see Sean Anderson and Mike Rankin, and they're down there like two or three rows back behind the on-deck circle there. And clearly Mike Rankin, who of Future Sox, and you've heard him, those two guys, you've heard both of them on the show here when they filled in the past, but apparently they have an even better hookup than we do. So he did not want to divulge who his hookup is, but we will find out, Mike Rankin. You can't keep your secret forever, okay? The only people that can keep a secret are dead, and you can take that as a threat if you want. But yeah, he was very, very, didn't want to give up the connect there, Mike Rankin, but that's fine. They had a great time, I'm sure.
Yeah, on producer salary, those are not your own seats. Come on now, Mike Rankin.
But well, yeah, we're smart enough. We can put two and two together. The only thing is to find out who is the hookup for Mike Rankin. But good time at the ballpark last night. It's good being back there with the family. Good running into a lot of friendly faces there. Lots of love for the podcast. You know, I'm sure we weren't there together as we usually are when we go to a game. Usually you're the one that people recognize the most for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's your name on the back of your jersey. But a lot of people did just quick, you know, I was with my daughter a lot of time, but a lot of people was like, hey, Tanny, love the show. Love the podcast. Locked on. I had one guy give me the Locked On Sox fist pump like when I was going down to my seat. And I'm not saying this to pull a Chet Kopic where I, you know, wave to a section of people in the crowd, you know, like Chet used to do. But just as a way of saying thank you to everyone who's been checking out the show. So I appreciate that very much. And, you know, if you see me, you know, I don't think I'm a jerk, at least not to people I haven't met. Yeah, I said people I haven't met, I'm typically not a jerk. So, yeah, stop and say hello. There were some people who I heard, whispering things, but they did not stop and say hello. And there was, you see an interaction on Twitter last night with a guy who said, hey, I saw Tanny and Shane at the ball game. We were a couple rows behind them. Didn't say hi, though. So stop and say hello. It's not a big deal. You don't have to, but I'm just saying if you're apprehensive and maybe you want to, come on in. Come on in for the real thing. Yeah. So, all right.
Get a nice hug and feel that nice 35 jersey of Finnick.
Oh, yeah. Went with the Big Frank 93 last night with a no name on the back. How I prefer it. We know who 35 is. So, all right, let's talk about this game here. Sox victorious 3-2 over Oakland. Where do we begin? We begin where we always begin by saying we're brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join Walking Baseball Encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from Locked On MLB's network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We begin where we always begin with the man on the mound for the White Sox last night. He is Lance Lynn. I'm glad my daughter had the headphones on so she could not hear the profanities being the tapestry of obscenities being weaved by Lance Lynn. He goes just four innings, three hits, one run. It was earned. Three walks, four strikeouts. He did give up the home run in that one as well. But from where I was sitting, my vantage point, it was clear to everyone that he just did not have it early. But then he found a little uptick in velocity, and I think maybe he was able to build some confidence from there. But it was very shaky the rest of the night, and we'll get to him what happened when his night ended. But what'd you make of Lance Lynn's outing, albeit a brief one last night?
It's one of those outings that I admire the most if he would have went at least five. It's the one where you don't have your release point. You don't understand where you need to put the ball. Like, he was having this cutter go into the left-handed batter's box, and no one was chasing it until later on in the game. We'll get to that in a second. And his sinker was running way too much into right-handers and away from left-handers, where they weren't biting at all. So he was fighting himself the whole time, and he found a way to, for the most part, except for that home run, to come unscathed, getting himself out of jams numerous times. So yeah, this was a battle tonight. This was a time where he come off of that hard battle, where his wife is saying that he was tipping pitches versus the Yankees in the Field of Dreams game, who only gave up four earned.
Is there anyone that wasn't tipping pitches against the Yankees? Please stand up. Obviously, Michael Kopech was not. But yeah, they say, you know, Liam Hendricks said that he felt like he was tipping a little bit. You know, sure, man, whatever you feel like you have to tell yourself there. But yeah, it was anyone who's not tipping pitches, please, you know, let us know. But yeah, that was interesting there. But yeah, he wasn't particularly sharp. He did get out of a huge, huge jam. And I was watching this game and the crowd getting behind Lance Lynn there in the third inning, where he gets the bases loaded jam and with no one out, and he's able to survive it. And it was just a really nice execution and a nice, you know, display of just being the dude out there on the mound. In that inning, he gets the double to Canna, and then Marte reaches on the error by TA. Then he walks Matt Olson, and you're thinking, okay, here we go. So he gets Jed Lowry strikes out Josh Harrison. And then another big bat in the lineup. He gets Matt Chapman to pop out, and this place was just awesome. It was electric. And I turned to Shane and I said, man, this place in October is going to be something else, because I didn't see what the final attendance was here. I suppose I have the box score in front of me. I could look it up.
It was only 22,000.
Yeah, 22,000, but very lively 22,000. And it felt like at least 32,000 out there last night. And that moment there with Lance Lynn getting out of the jam, everyone in the park knew that was a big spot with runs at a premium, and it was a big spot in that ball game. But what everyone's talking about, there was a couple instances in that inning where, at least from my vantage point, it looked like the home plate umpire last night, who of course was Nick Marley, missed a couple of pitches there in that bat, at least to Chapman. And I don't know if you saw the same on the TV broadcast, because I was sitting slightly off center there, but from behind the catcher. Did he miss a couple pitches there, which led to the ultimate frustration of Lance Lynn? What did you think?
I don't think so necessarily. I thought he was calling balls and strikes for both teams pretty consistently. Okay. I was more impressed with the at-bat that he had versus Lowry. He was battling and fouling off every pitch. And then Lance had the wherewithal. It was a 3-2 count with the bases loaded, no one out. And he's like, I'm going to throw the filthiest sinker I can have here. And it started kind of in the middle of the plate and just ran to the right-handed batter's box, just
on the corner that ran Harris batter's box and enticed Jed Lowrie to swing and miss that ball. It was perfect pitch. And then, like, the pitch that he threw to Matt Chapman that he popped up, that was middle. I was surprised Matt didn't crush it. But it's also a byproduct of Lance with his cutters and his sinkers. And so Matt Chapman took a couple right down the middle. And then his seventh pitch of that at bat, it was a ball probably middle in, and he pops it right up to Timmy. I was like, whew, he got away with one right there.
And then ultimately, I don't know if it was more frustration at himself or at Nick Marley, the home plate umpire last night, but you go to a ballpark, we always say, and you see something that you could never have imagined seeing before, and I saw it. I was, of course, naturally going to get a funnel cake for my wife when this occurred, but I went back and I saw the video. Lance Lynn ejected after his fourth inning, and he's being checked by the home plate umpire. And ultimately throws his belt onto the field and at the umpire, which is one of the more hilarious things that I could imagine a pitcher doing. Thankfully, he was thrown out at that moment, because had they let him continue to throw things, who knows what would have been next for the big bastard. Maybe his pants wind up on the field there. But I've never seen anything like that in a big league ball game, Herb. Throwing your belt at someone? Ridiculous. But I love Lance Lynn.
Yeah, but I think it's more a frustration of, hey, you're checking me again, and also I'm already in the dugout. Like, usually you guys meet me at the foul line and say, okay, here, here's my hat, here's my glove, here's my belt. But he's already in the dugout chilling, and so he's arguing with you guys, like, you've already checked me, and I'm already in the dugout. And so, like, hey, Lance, we need your belt, we need to check it. And so that's what he's, like, frustrated. You know, firstly, he's not having the game that he probably imagined him having. And then so he's like, you know, I'm in the middle of the game concentrating. I'm pissed at myself for not executing my pitches, giving up a home run right there. And so he just flings his belt towards the umpires, doesn't hit him. But the ump's like, you know, you can't be throwing things at me. That's understandable. I don't know if you throw him out, maybe give him an equipment thing. This is a new thing. These guys are not used to getting their equipment checked every single time, and probably some frustration. They're in the middle of a battle. They're not looking for you to be bothering them during a game while they're in the heat of battle, especially not at the time where he's already in the dugout. And once he's in the dugout, that's his sanctuary. You can't come over there and talk to him about something. And so, yeah, I understand his frustration, and I understand the umpire's frustration. He has to throw him out in that regard, because he can't let or set a precedent where he's just letting people throw belts at him or hats or gloves at him.
Or jock straps or thongs or, you know, whatever. Dong. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. But he got some help coming in behind him. A heavy, heavy workload by the bullpen last night. Crochet ends up getting the win. It goes the inning in two thirds, giving up just the one hit. Giving up the walk as well. Tapera, who ran into some bad luck there with one of the oddest things there. I heard it on the radio on the way home because, yes, we left in the fifth inning because it was already well past 9 o'clock, and my family was like, you know what, we're tapping out. We've had enough. So I was like, all right, fine. I will never, ever argue about getting out of that parking lot early. Mm-hmm. So, and we got home in time to see really the last two innings, so that's fine by me. But Tapera, you know, gets the hold. That Luis Robert thing, man, was that scary in real time seeing it? Because I saw the replay on Twitter, but, I heard Connor's call of it. What an odd thing to happen out there. Look, he just, you know, was running full go and then just puts the brakes on and then his feet just go out from under him. But that was an odd thing that happened out there last night.
I mean, anytime you see somebody do that, you get scared. But I think that Robert, myself, I'm like, all right, he's a premium athlete. If that happens to Aloy, oh, man, I'm real scared. You know, Robert, you know, pretty much pops up and gets the job done after that. But, yeah, I'm fine with, you know, not freaked out at that point that Robert's going to be hurt for a longer period of time right there. But speaking of him, man, that guy had a great game.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a second here when we get to the offense, but let's finish off the bullpen here. Bummer comes in after Tapera, pitches one inning, gives up the two hits, which ultimately leads to his exit there. And Liam Hendricks comes in for the inning and two-thirds save. And boy, that slider, ever since that Field of Dreams game, he has looked right. We knew he was going to be extra jacked up going against Oakland. There would be no problems with him getting the extra couple outs there needed. And it's no surprise. And just the slider is just as good as ever. That pitch is basically unhittable. He can just keep throwing them and throwing them, throwing them, because it just looks so enticing when it's coming in. And then that thing just darts down or darts away, depending on how he throws it and who he's throwing it to. But I like this move a lot by getting him in there, because he gets to get himself back on track. I'm sure he's feeling great right now. And then still you have Craig Kimbrel left in the chamber if you're lucky enough to get a save situation later on today. I was talking to these guys, Mike Rankin and Sean Anderson, on the concourse before the game. I was like, I wonder how Tony's going to play this with the day game tomorrow, because you saw Vaughn not in the lineup initially. Then he comes in later in the game, so I would expect you're going to see Vaughn playing tomorrow. Robert's probably going to get the day off with the day game after the night game. But I was wondering how he's going to maneuver this bullpen with Hendricks and Kimbrel. So at least there's no question in my mind, if the Sox have a lead tomorrow late, Kimbrel's going to take the ninth where he's most comfortable. So that's something to keep an eye out on. And, of course, baseball being baseball, they'll either blow them out or get blown out, and we'll never actually see Kimbrel in the ninth inning. So I thought that was interesting. But Liam Hendricks, man, tip of the cap. The guy's been a monster the past few days.
Yeah, it was great to see that guy come back with some ferocity. He, like you said, probably had a little extra juice inside for the Oakland A's. Not a bad thing, but it's a team that he pitched for. So he's like, I want to show these guys that they should have put an offer out there when the White Sox put their money out there and signed me to a long-term extension. So he looked like the guy that needs to be on the mound every night. The guy that's just angry. The guy that's just pumped up about pitching in the inning. He understood that first and second, what was it, one out when he came in the game? I need to get these two guys out any way I can. And then the ninth inning, there was no challenge. That man was like, okay, you guys are dead. I just got out of a real tough situation in the eighth. We're good. I know that you're up, Starlin Marte. Sit your ass down. Olsen, Laurie, come on now. What are we doing?
We'll take a quick time out here. We'll talk about the offense last night. That's next here on Locked On White Sox. This episode of Locked On White Sox is brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. You know, with all the ever-increasing makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts your car is ever going to need. So why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, like, is your car an LX or an EX? Well, I don't know. Let me go out and look. And why wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Look, the reality is when you go to rockauto.com and find your auto parts there, you're going to save time and money when you use our friends at Rock Auto. So why choose to pay 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts at a chain store or, God forbid, your dealership? For example, the Honda Odyssey fuel pump, $353 at a chain store, but only $216 at rockauto.com. See what I'm talking about? And they're a family business serving do-it-yourselfers like you and I for over 20 years. Rock Auto's prices are always going to be reliably low for every single customer. And they've got everything too. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. I know I'm hitting the road soon going up north. I'm going to check and make sure my car has everything it needs. And I'm going to do that by going to rockauto.com. Check them out, won't you? Explore their easy-to-use website and find the solution for your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. This episode of Locked On White Sox is brought to you by a new friend. It's our friends at Wild Alaskan. We all know we should be eating more fish to get our omega-3s and protein, but the seafood counter can be intimidating at times. Which fish tastes the best? What type of cut? Can you really be sure about the quality? Well, Wild Alaskan Company takes the guesswork out of buying wild-caught seafood. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. And every month, there are different specials to explore. Each shipment contains premium, wild-caught, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. That really sounds delicious, especially this summer. Throw some salmon on the grill. Folks, there's nothing better, I'm telling you. Wild Alaskan Company Seafood is how nature intended it to be. Always wild, never farmed or modified, and it contains no antibiotics. You can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership at any time, and they offer 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get your nutrition from nature with Wild Alaskan Company. And right now, for our Locked On White Sox listeners, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit Wild Alaskan Company. company.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off of your first box. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game, folks. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get your podcasts. A lot of voicemails coming in tonight, short and sweet. Shout out to our guy Mark checking in as always, and some others checking in as well. But they kept it short, so we'll keep it short here. But we appreciate everyone checking in, and also LockedOnSox@gmail.com. So the offense tonight, 7 of the 9 starters get hits, but no one with a better night than Luis Robert at the dish. Luis Robert gets 3 hits, goes 3 for 4 with 2 huge RBI, and this guy is playing like the guy who many sports books had as one of the MVP runner-up favorites behind Mike Trout. This guy's playing had a great catch out in center field before the misplay, and just tracked a ball down really nicely, bangs into the wall. The guy's playing an all-world caliber type of baseball offensively and defensively, and boy, it's good to see him out there. Especially it's good to see him hitting right off the IL, basically, or at least, you know, it had been a while since he had been had faced big league pitching, but it's great to see him out there doing what he's doing and being so successful, and boy, is he fun to watch when all aspects of his game are clicking.
Yeah, and it was like a carbon copy, the 4th and the 6th. It was the same thing, like a rocket single to the left field where he scores Yoan Moncada. It was awesome to see that the guy is just hitting the ball really hard, going up with a great approach, and 3 for 4 today. And Courtney had, my girlfriend Courtney had commented, like, man, it seems like the guy didn't even miss any time. Like, he just came back off of the IL, like, what, a week ago, week and a half ago? And he looks like the guy that was who left back in May. So it's good to have him be the guy that he is, because I was worried about both him and Aloy ramping up to being the guys that they are. You know, the power stroke necessarily hasn't come from Luis, even though the other day he hit like a ball really far with a half of a swing, which is ridiculous. But 3 singles, I'll take it all the time, and especially when 2 of them score runs.
Absolutely. So you go up and down the box score, just, you know, not a great offensive night, but this was a hard fought game against a really good team. And these are what these games are going to look like in October. Kind of underwhelmed so far by the Oakland A's and what they've been able to do so far. They've kept their big guys out of the equation here. I know they've had guys like Olsen and Chapman come up in big spots, and they haven't been able to come through with the big hit. And that, you know, this is a team here, the Oakland A's, you know, traveling, you know, almost more than anyone in baseball, not as much as the Mariners, but, you know, they're on the end of a road trip here, I believe, for them. And so, you know, they got to be a little tired, and, you know, maybe they've got a little case of the, you know, the Chicago flu going. But this is a team that I thought was going to put forth a lot better effort. Not to say that's not a good effort per se, but just they just can't get a big hit right now, and they couldn't get one last night. But you'll be happy to take it, because we've certainly seen the Sox play their share of hot teams coming in, the Yankees mainly, who still haven't lost since Tim Anderson walked them off, which is unbelievable. But yeah, just not a strong offensive night, but just good enough, and then that's fine, because you're 21 over now and 12 games up on Cleveland. But anything else stick out to you? You know, the Moncada thing to me was a little disappointing. He had a really good stretch there defensively, but you know, he had that error there that could have been a lot worse. Mm-hmm. When Tapera was out there, but overall, you know, not too many complaints here, I don't think, from this lineup. You know, I was at the game, and, you know, my attention was pulled in 10 different directions. But anything else on your notepad here before we move on and preview tomorrow's show?
Just late breaking stuff that Lance Lynn talked, and our guest Chris Emma from 670 Score tweeted out that Lynn said, obviously I hurt his feelings.
I was coming off the mound. He was late getting over, so I left my glove and my hat. And then while I was going down the dugout trying to see the trainers, because I'm dealing with something, he yells at me, that he needs to see my belt. So I tossed it up and then he throws me out.
Were you expected to get tossed at that point?
No, I mean, he's late getting over there. And then I'm trying to get some work done to go back out for the fifth. And, you know, obviously I hurt his feelings.
Assuming no, but did they listen to any explanation of the situation from you about why you were rushing in to try to get seen?
No, they don't care. He threw me out because I tossed my belt. And I said, well, if you're over here on time, we wouldn't have this problem. Marnie in the dugout.
Tony said that he thought the work you did was amazing tonight, you know, pitching out of the jams in the first and the third. How did you feel out there?
I felt completely miserable. But when you get out of that and only give up one run, and when we win, that's what it's all about. So, you know, I wish I could have gone deeper, but I didn't get that opportunity. It was taken from me. But I'm going to get myself ready to go for the next one.
You felt miserable in terms of what was going on or physically, or what was the miserable part?
Yeah, every bit of it.
Every bit.
James?
Sounds like you think it's a minor issue and you can make your next start, but kind of what was going on, or is it something you've dealt with before, like with the trap?
I'll see you in 5 days.
Okay. Thank you, Lance. Mm-hmm. So that's for tonight.
Love hearing from Lance Lynn, especially on a night like last night. So we'll take a quick time out here and we'll preview tomorrow's show next here on Locked On White Sox. This episode of Locked On White Sox is brought to you by Bet Online. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC, MMA action. You guys know me. I've talked about this many times before. I love going to BetOnline and checking out some of the futures bets they have, but not just for sports. The Emmys are coming up in September, just about a month away here, and you can place a bet on who's going to win Best Comedy Series. Right now, Ted Lasso is your favorite and minus 1500. Other shows on here. Man, I really haven't seen a lot of these shows. I've heard a lot of great things about Hacks. I'm going to be checking that out. But you can place a bet on whatever your favorite show is, Cobra Kai. If you got some dark horse picks here like Emily in Paris at plus 3,300, you can place your bet at BetOnline. What about Best Drama Series? The Crown, odds on favorite at minus 1,200. How about The Handmaid's Tale, Bridgerton, Mandalorian, Lovecraft Country, This Is Us? These are all things you could bet on for the 2021 Emmys. And yes, if you're asking, you can still bet on who's going to be the first celebrity abducted by aliens. Right now, Elon Musk is actually the odds-on favorite at plus 1400, Donald Trump coming in at plus 1600, and Joe Rogan also at plus 1600. So you can place your bet there for who will be first to be abducted by aliens at BetOnline. Great stuff going on there. So before the first pitch or whatever it is you're going to bet on, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or your mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, folks. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the postseason. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And don't forget our promo code, LOCKEDON, at BetOnline. All right, her production meeting on the air here. So we are going out. Our buddy Brennan McCaffrey, a big-time friend of ours and supporter of this podcast, he's come in. He does the show for SiriusXM, Jim Miller and Pat Kerwin show for the NFL channel on Sirius. Moodchains. So he's coming in. He was at Hell's Hall yesterday. What a day. What a day to be there. But we're going to go out with our buddy Brendan and hang out for a bit. So,
Brendans. Wow.
Who's the other Brendan?
Murph.
Oh, I just know him as Murph. I forgot he's also a Brendan. That's a good job by you. The dual Brendan formation there. Yeah, he's always been Murph to me. Yeah. So we're going to be out and about again, and we have to make a decision here. I'm guessing you guys, if I know our listeners here, they would much rather have us break down Game one of the series down at the Trop, which is going to be a huge series for Sox and Rays. You down to do a Friday night recap? I know we're going to break form a little bit. We don't always do that. I don't know if you have plans with your significant other here. I can certainly make some because it's an East Coast game, 6 o'clock start, so we can still do our thing after with plenty of time. But what do you think? What should we do for our final show of the week here?
I think so. That sounds like a good idea because of she'll be going back to law school and she's studying. So I think, you know, the dog is just going to be chilling. So we're good.
Yeah.
We'll do it on Friday.
Yeah, let's do that. Usually on Fridays, I am in a Portillo's coma, but that's fine. Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
So, yeah, absolutely. So we'll do that, and we'll break down game one down at the Trop. I'm just going to take a look at the probables here. We'll talk a little bit about anything of consequence that happens in this 1 o'clock start going on later today on the south side. Should be a fun one. Dylan Cease, another opportunity here against good competition. He's 9-6 with the 404 versus Cole Irvin, who got pushed back, left-hander, 8-11 this season. Sox looking for a four-game sweep of the A's, and I got to say, they've got it coming. How many times have the A's swept the Sox in four on the West Coast?
My goodness. So this would be very bullshit ballpark.
This would be very satisfying. And if you're looking ahead to Friday's game down in the Trop, Giolito's going. He's 9-9 with a 3-8-3, and Tampa Bay still has TBD listed as their scheduled starter. So
he's probably going to pitch six shutout innings.
Well, yeah, of course. They'll just they've got people growing out there down there in Tampa St. Pete, and they'll just a guy out of thin air there that will come out there and do his thing. And so that'll be a fun one here. This is a big series because of the way the power dynamic is shaping out here in the American League. I am of the school of I would like the Sox to get that number one record and the home field advantage if possible. Now, it may not matter because if you've seen those crowds down at the Trop, as we mentioned yesterday, not great, and who knows what they'll look like come October. But if you're close enough within striking distance, you may as well try to get home field advantage. But right now the Sox are still, I think they're three games back of Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay 74-47 on the year, as the Sox are 71-50. So, this is a good chance. So you may not have any more chances really to gain ground on them in that regard. So this is a good chance and a good test for the Sox to play a very good team on the road, which is, I think, the one question mark that we have of this team really is how, I think they've answered, how do they play teams that are 500 or above? Just like any other team, the record is not going to be outstanding, but they'll be competitive. So you want to see the next thing is how they can perform on the road against a good team. So I'm looking forward to that, and we'll break that down Friday night. So that way you can hopefully enjoy a victory throughout the whole entire weekend. So that's our plan. So with all that said, that's all I got tonight, Herb.
That is Chris Tannehill at Chris Tannehill on Twitter, at Ecknerwall23 for myself, at Locked On Sox for our show. 312-566-8727 or LockedOnSox@gmail.com. For Chris, I'm Herb. Talk to you on Friday for Locked On Sox.